Yeah, I feel like your AI tech stack is just becoming a collection of glue code, because you have your main database for your users and you have a separate vector database for your embeddings, and then there's this fragile bridge of Python scripts trying to keep them both in sync. It's quite exhausting, and honestly it's becoming extra work which we don't need anymore. Okay, so today I want to talk about why the era of standalone vector databases might be ending. When looking at some announcements from various companies recently, we're moving into a world of unified data intelligence. I've done a video on this already. You can check it out on my channel. Today I'm talking about MongoDB specifically, handling things like auto embeddings and Voyage AI's multimodal models directly in the index. So no more sync lag, no more ETL nightmares. So let's get into why this actually matters for your production applications. Here's the reality check. Research shows that about 70 to 85% of AI projects are actually failing before they even hit production. In my last company, we did a AI research report, and that said the same thing. Why is that? Because a huge reason is database sprawl. Think about your current workflow. You update a document in your operational store, and then you have to trigger an embedding. You wait for the API, and then you push that vector to something like Pinecone, for example. And if that sync breaks, it probably will. Your AI starts hallucinating because it's looking at stale knowledge. We call this the synchronization tax, because you're paying in latency and you are paying in the infrastructure costs as well. And you're also paying in security risks. In fact, AI-related vulnerabilities nearly jumped around 35% last year alone, because most of these complex fragmented systems are just harder to lock down. I think someone who solves, I did a talk around this with Matt Parker in Container Days. I'll leave the links in the description. You can check it out, around access management and MCP and AI agents. But nevertheless, when you look at a traditional stack versus a unified one, the difference is quite massive. In a fragmented setup, you are managing manual app side code and complex ETL pipelines. But if you have a unified platform like the MongoDB Atlas, which we'll talk about, you've got zero sync architecture, because the data and the vector live in the exact same document. Now, this is where it gets interesting. We're going to talk about MongoDB. They just rolled out automated embedding. So basically, instead of writing glue code that we spoke about to talk to an embedding provider, you literally just pick your model, like the new Voyage 4 series, directly inside your index definition. So MongoDB then handles everything, whether, let's say you want to insert a document, it automatically triggers the embedding using asynchronous dynamic batching. It's smart enough to handle the rate limits and retries, so you don't have to, babysit that. And take a company like MedINT, I believe that's how I pronounced it. I was reading about it. I'll leave the links in the description as well. So they used to spend weeks of engineering time just, building these pipelines, but they switched to this automated approach, and they turned that into low maintenance workflow that actually improved their retrieval speed. And the Voyage 4 models that they are using, they are quite awesome. They're outperforming Gemini and Cohere on industry leaderboards. You can read the research comparisons online as well. But the real win here, I would say, is the shared embedding space. That's what we're talking about today, because this basically means you can switch between a light model that is quite good, let's say, for speed, and you're using a large model for accuracy without re-embedding your entire data set. So it's a quite of a game changer for cost and flexibility. I think it's quite nice. And let's talk about the multimodal stuff, because that is where the old way of doing things really falls apart. Because usually, if you want to make a video or a PDF searchable, for example, you have to run OCR to get that text, you tag it, and then you index it. It's clunky and you lose all the visual context. But with the Voyage Multimodal 3.5 and MongoDB, we are basically treating images and videos as first-class citizens. So it basically interprets interleaved text and visuals directly. So think about a cooking video, for example. So if you query like Gordon Ramsay's scrambled eggs technique, normal search might just look at the text in the caption, for example. But a multimodal search actually understands the visual frames of the cooking process. So you're basically building agentic video search, right? So for the frames of the video, it's going to look that up. So you segment the video, embed the frames and captions together, and store them in one place. So you don't need like a separate media server or OCR engines. You don't need that. It's basically much cleaner, much faster, and way more human in how it understands the data. So the results are much superior. Now, some people might ask, is it actually cheaper? Let's look at the statistics. Moving data around isn't just a headache. I've been speaking about this since ever since I got into the cloud industry. There's a big egress tax with it as well. So if you're storing 100 terabytes of embeddings in the cloud and you're constantly moving them between systems for retrieval, you could be looking at around 700,000 or 750,000 in egress fees over a few years. This is real. People pay that much in egress fees. Consolidating that into one platform, let's say if you talk about Atlas Search nodes, it allows you to scale your vector search independently from your main database. So, you're also getting to keep all that data in one secure environment, and you get like sub 10 milliseconds query latency because you can keep these indexes in memory without the cold start problems you get with some serverless vector databases.
Okay, let's get started with the demo. First of all, you have to create an organization and your project if you're using MongoDB Atlas. And we're going to have to go to the AI model section. So we need the Voyage API key if you have a MongoDB cluster. So I'm going to go there. And here I can just create the Voyage API key for the embeddings. And if you're using Atlas, go to clusters and create the cluster. And when you create the cluster, you're going to have an option to create a user as well. So you just have to add the user and the password, and you can then just connect with the cluster. I'm going to use Driver, but there are other options as well. And my application is Python, so I'm just going to click Python and version. And this is the connection string, and here you can see this is my username and this is my password. So when you create the cluster, that's where you will get it. Remember the password, maybe save it somewhere, so you can just copy. So you can use this URL to connect to the cluster and send your data. So that's basically all about MongoDB. I'm going to come to Data Explorer now, and here you can see that I don't have any data right now. Okay. We have some tables that I have done previously, but I don't have any data right now. So I'm going to go to my terminal, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to push a very normal data that has just titles and stuff. So I'm ignoring the Python warnings so that it doesn't, hinder with that. So once that is done, I will just refresh, and you should be able to see the data in my cluster. There you go. So here are all the normal data, products data. What do you mean by normal data? It just contains, let's say, title and brand and what category it is, and very normal data like what is this electronics about? That a database is storing. So here you can see they don't have any embeddings right now. Okay, so it's a very normal data. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually create embeddings using Voyage 4. So I have this new file. By the way, I'll leave all the links in the description below as well. So here I'm going to create the embeddings that are going to be used in Atlas Vector Search. I've connected the MongoDB Atlas. My API key is connected. This basically thing it mentions because I have used a free tier so that you can follow along. I can only create one index at a time. If you have a bigger tier, you can use multiple indexes at the same time, which I recommend. But for getting started with the demo for free purposes, I want it to be same as what the audience is watching. So it's going to be a little slow, but you can fix that by getting a nice tier. Here we are some we have some sample products, for example, sample evaluation queries. So for example, in simple terms, if you want to search for, let's say, wireless noise cancelling headphones, you're going to get four relevant products. So for example, you can see wireless is in the name, or there's like a, for example, noise cancelling, so else related to noise cancelling. So let's say Apple AirPods, for example, that doesn't have noise cancelling in the title, but it's still relevant, right? So that's what I mean. So all the relevant search data you will be getting. Now there are two types of dimensional embeddings, 1024 and 512 dimensional embeddings. So the difference is that the 1024 embedding, that one basically it's a long array embedding. So you have a more richer representation of data. And 512 is like a shorter array because let's say you have a smaller representation. It's going to take a less number of time when doing the searching, so efficiency is going to be higher. So it's going to have a, it's going to balance that out. So there's like a difference between these two. That's the main difference. Okay, now here we can see that ingested into MongoDB. That is cool. For vector search indices, I want to show you this. They have created four types of indexes: IDX 1024 full binary, IDX 512 full, 512 binary. Full basically means that all the data will go. So it's going to search like according to all the data. Binary basically means it's going to be a more optimized searching. This is basically created by MongoDB Atlas itself. So here you can see in IDX 1024 full. That's basically means full precision vectors, meaning there's no quantization. Binary quantization basically means that it's Atlas's indexation option that compresses the vector for efficiency. So that's like one of the trade-offs. And the retrieval that I do will be asymmetric. We're gonna talk about the latency comparison in the future, like what's it going to be in full versus what it's going to be in binary, right? Okay, so this part is done, and you can see that eight runs have taken place, four index types, two query types it's taken, so four total runs. Now I'm going to go refresh. Now here you can see that embeddings have been created in my data, right? So 1024 array, and that's the 512 array. So that's what I wanted to show you, how easy it is to update your data. And for every single data, it has updated that. You can go to search and vector search, and here you can see the e-commerce search, the embeddings have been created. And you can check the size is also 512, as you can see, the size is a little less, so that's going to be faster retrieval and it's going to be much more cheaper, for example. So here I want to show you latency, for example. Let's say P50 1024 full has 292, which is a bit more. Light is also a little bit higher, but if you come to binary, you will see like a little less. And if you come to 512, you will see like a significant decrease. You are seeing a little bit less number of changes. So, you'll be like, Kunal, 292, 286 is not much. That's because I had a small data for demo purpose, but it's still working. If you have a higher number of data that you ingest, I will you will see even more changes. So here, basically, let's say I'm searching, let's say wireless noise canceling headphone. It's going to search, let's say, for baseline, which is the V4 large, let's say, versus the 512D, which is the optimized one, right? So the Voyage 4 large and Voyage 4 light. So the comparison is like we have the first one, which was the normal vector, sorry, normal Atlas search, which was not semantic. But here we have, let's say, the baseline one. So we have more quality, but it's not as optimized. But if you want to optimize, you can reduce the dimension from 1024 to 512, and it's quantized. And we have also switched the query model from Voyage 4 large to Voyage 4 light, right? So here you can see the latency when I search for wireless noise canceling headphones. It's giving me latency 307.6, and this one is giving me 287. If you have a lot more data, I just wanted to give it for demo purpose, just so that you can run it on your laptop as well. I would say as a homework, try a lot of data and you will see much more difference. So it has given the same data as you can see, but cost and storage and latency is much lesser when it talk about like optimized also in like recall and MRR.
So that's very neat, right? No extra hops, no sync lag, just one unified layer for your data intelligence. I would say that if you want to stop doing this extra work and start building production-grade AI, there's a really nice learning resource for this. You need to check out the MongoDB Python AI series. It's a five-part series that covers everything from CRUD operations to vector search to building full-blown autonomous agents using LangGraph. It's completely free. You don't need to pay for it. And once you finish, you get an official skill badge as well, sort of like a certificate skill badge, to show the world that you've done this series of tutorials, and that you can architect these systems for the real world. And you can share it on socials, add it on your LinkedIn. The links for that can be found in the description below. Go get your badge, stop the database sprawl, and I will see you in the next one. Massive thanks to MongoDB, by the way, for sponsoring this video. Go build something cool, take the test, it's free, 5 series, and let me know if you have any questions in the comments below. Once you get your badge, share it on socials and tag me. I would love to see how many of you actually did it. Okay, see you in the next one. Bye.